WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Advocates for Valley poultry workers hold a car rally to show their support as a team of federal health officials heads to the Delmarva Peninsula to address concerns at poultry plants there over COVID-19. Meanwhile, a second outbreak in the Harrisonburg area, this one at the correctional facility in Linville, where 25 inmates are now infected. And Jesse Nadler is back reporting for WMRA with a story about Valley residents stepping up to answer the need for face masks. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, April 28th. Poultry workers and their advocates are concerned about working conditions in Rockingham County's processing plants. Monday afternoon, advocates held a local car rally to show solidarity for workers and to send a message to those in power, WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
Dozens of vehicles lined up single file in the Harrisonburg City Hall parking lot to travel to poultry plants around Rockingham County. Poultry workers have raised concerns that safety measures to prevent an outbreak of COVID-19 at the plants have been inconsistent at best. They claim that they are not provided adequate personal protective equipment on the job and are forced to work shoulder to shoulder. Organizations across Virginia have stepped up in advocacy.
That you're really helping to sound the alarm about an impending outbreak that probably is already in process. But the sooner we intervene, the less damage it's going to cause. So what you're doing is extremely important.
That's Michael Snell Fikema, a member of the group Community Solidarity for Poultry Workers.
The poultry workers are precious human beings that need our protection. And they have the ability to give them that protection. The governor, the attorney general, VOSHA, that's why we're here.
They are part of a statewide coalition formed to protect essential workers during the pandemic. The group, which also includes the Legal Aid Justice Center and United Food and Commercial Workers, recently sent a letter to Governor Ralph Northam and Virginia's Occupational Safety Agency urging them to use their emergency powers to create enforceable protections for essential workers in the industry.
The governor and Virginia OSHA has free rein in developing their own standards for essential workers and for the poultry plants. And they don't have to wait for OSHA to act.
Advocates took to their vehicles with signs in their windows declaring solidarity with the workers. The rally of about 30 cars first drove by the Rockingham County Government Office, then to Georgia's Incorporated plant in Harrisonburg, and then to Cargill's turkey processing plant in Dayton. The procession honked their horns and circled the plants. The rally was held in sync with supporters on the Eastern Shore who had organized a car rally for poultry workers at the Tyson and Purdue plants in Accomack County. You'll find more information on their Facebook page, Justice for Poultry Workers. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
Meanwhile, a team of federal health officials is expected at the Delmarva Peninsula this week to address the growing concerns of poultry plant workers there. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Two of the country's largest chicken processing plants are on Virginia's Eastern Shore. In his latest press conference, Governor Ralph Northam says the state is concerned about the health of the approximately 3,000 people who work in the plants.
Many of them do not speak English as their first language, and the close quarters of their housing makes measures such as isolation and quarantine even more difficult.
According to Northam, the CDC is sending epidemiologists and contact tracers, along with language support, to help with local leaders in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. There have been outbreaks at meat processing plants across the country. Northam says they're keeping a close eye on poultry operations in the Shenandoah Valley as well. I'm Mallory Nopain.
According to the Virginia Department of Health, more than 80,000 people in Virginia have been tested for coronavirus, and although testing for the disease is way up, Virginia still has the lowest number of tests per capita of any state, according to an analysis from the Associated Press. The Commonwealth reported almost 4,000 new COVID-19 tests on Monday. That's about double the number of tests recorded a week ago. Governor Northam says he's hopeful Virginia will be able to test 10,000 people per day in the next few weeks. Northam also said the state recently received 14,000 additional testing swabs from the federal government, plus hundreds of thousands of masks and gloves from a private supplier. The Virginia Department of Health reports 576 total cases in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. That now includes 25 inmates infected at the Community Corrections Alternative Program in Linville. This is the second outbreak in the Harrisonburg area after Accordius Health Long-Term Care Facility reported 81 residents there testing positive in mid-April. Northam said Monday he is open to the idea of opening businesses in southwestern Virginia before the rest of the state as he weighs when coronavirus restrictions can be lifted. Northam said that the situation in the border city of Bristol illustrates why a regional approach might be necessary. Bristol sits on both sides of the Virginia-Tennessee border. It now faces a situation where restaurants on the Tennessee side of the border can provide dine-in services to patrons, while those on the Virginia side cannot. A Virginia gun range must be allowed to open to customers despite the statewide executive order requiring non-essential businesses to close to slow the spread of the virus. Lynchburg Circuit Judge F. Patrick Yates ruled on Monday that federal and state protections for the right to bear arms outweigh any emergency authority held by Governor Ralph Northam to order the gun range closed. Safeside Gun Range in Lynchburg filed the lawsuit challenging the governor's executive order along with Gun Owners of America, the Virginia Citizens Defense League, and the Association of Virginia Gun Ranges. Attorney General Mark Herring's office had argued that Northam's emergency powers to protect public safety during a pandemic should be upheld. Governor Northam is asking Virginians to continue to vaccinate their children during the pandemic. Northam says health officials have noticed a dip in vaccinations for illnesses unrelated to COVID-19.
We don't want to see an outbreak of a preventable disease such as measles on top of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Many pediatricians are still accepting appointments during the governor's stay-at-home order. Northam says he also hopes to reopen hospitals to elective surgeries on Friday. Okay, time now for the latest installment of our series from Virginia Public Radio, answering listener questions about COVID-19.
This is the COVID-19 Minute, expert answers to your questions. Many people wonder if, like influenza, cases of COVID-19 might fall off as the weather gets warmer. At the Virginia Tech Carilion School of Medicine, Dr. Paul Skolnick thinks that will be the case.
There might be some low-level transmission, but the great likelihood is that it will be seasonal, which is a great thing, because if this comes around a second time, which is likely, there will be many who have now developed immunity and won't be infected by this. The huge numbers that we're seeing right now when there's no pre-existing immunity in the population most likely won't be replicated and it'll be easier to deal with.
But at Virginia Commonwealth University, Dr. Alex Crist is skeptical, pointing to countries where the weather is already warm.
There are cases in countries like Iran and Australia right now, so it's kind of hard to imagine that warmer weather is going to make this go away.
And UVA's Dr. Amy Mathers feels fairly certain that summer won't mean the end of COVID-19.
Influenza is more transmissible, as are a lot of respiratory viruses, when the air is drier, so in the winter months. However, in a population that has very little immunity to a new virus, I don't think that the small effect of the summer or the dryness of air is likely to have much effect.
They agree, however, that when summer comes, the virus will not be spread by mosquitoes. I'm Sandy Houseman with the COVID-19 Minute.
Finally today, there is an urgent need for face masks as communities up and down the valley attempt to flatten the curve of the coronavirus. Plenty of individuals and organizations have responded to the call. WMRA's Jesse Nadler takes a look at this grassroots effort and how it's brought a region in crisis together.
White's Travel Center is a sprawling truck stop on Interstate 81 in Raphine. It's an essential business, offering truck drivers a place to rest and refuel on their way to delivering critical supplies cross-country. R.T. Fisk is general manager of operations.
We've got a lot of people to worry about.
They needed face masks in a hurry. He saw on Facebook that a woman in Fairfield named Bonnie Wilmer had brought together four generations of women in her family to churn out face masks to pretty much anyone who needed them.
So we asked if she could do 154, and she said, of course, you know, give her a couple days to get it ready.
And we've done them for doctor's offices. We've done them for parts of the hospital, for hospice. Long-term health individuals. We've mailed them out to several states, and we've now made 5,800.
5,800 masks.
Yes. Never thought it would turn out that big, but it did.
Wilmer doesn't charge for this service, but asks those who can for a donation she can put towards supplies. The big one, elastic. It's really hard to come by right now.
We called everywhere from Charlottesville to Roanoke and couldn't find elastic. We're waiting on more that hopefully is going to be here today.
Bill Micolay owns the fabric warehouse in Harrisonburg. He's also experiencing a tightening supply chain as Americans cross-country dust off their sewing machines to make masks.
We've almost sold out of our cottons. We're probably 80% gone of cottons.
Business has been so hectic in the run-up to the pandemic that the shop made $68,000 worth of internet sales within an hour before he finally had to shut it down.
You couldn't keep up with orders.
Things have leveled off since then, and now he sells mask materials at cost.
It really isn't a profit center for us, but it's a way to keep the community getting what they need.
Acacia Mullen of Make It So in Lexington charges $6.50 for a face mask, but it's allowed her to keep her four employees working.
I've made about 670 masks, and right now I've got 150 orders to fill, and it looks like about 15 to 25 new orders are coming every day.
The community organization 50 Ways Rockbridge purchased 250 of her mask kits. Those kits resulted in 1,000 masks that went to Rockbridge frontline workers. The entire experience has given Mullen hope about the future of American textile manufacturing.
I think it's great. It shows like this strength among American manufacturers that we're going to step up and we're going to make a difference.
Here's Bonnie Wilmer again.
Even though this is a really crisis and a difficult time, we have pulled together and made an endurable time for us, and we just feel like that we're helping people, and if we help just one person out there, it's all been worth it.
The Centers for Disease Control recommends that you regularly wash your face mask and also scrub your hands when you take them off. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
So good to hear a report from Jesse for WMRA. It's like meeting up with an old friend again. You'll find links to more information about this story at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.